if you want to. So you can go ahead and rise. We do this in reverence to the reading of God's Word. But I know we was just standing. I meant to ask everybody just remain standing. Once everybody sit down, I was going to let you stay. But I do appreciate it. And I know God does. It's in the Word of God. And I've said it several times, and I'll try not to say too much about it, but we'll stand for the flag. We stand for the bride. We stand at a funeral. And I just believe there ain't nothing more precious than the Word of God. Amen. And we ought to reverence the Word of God. So I'm going to read this one verse this morning. In verse 21 of the book of Job of chapter 1. Book of Job chapter 1 and verse 21. Give you an opportunity to find that. The book of Job chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible said, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to be in your house again this morning. I thank you, Lord, for Sunday school and 11 o'clock hour and what we've been able to feel. God, I thank you, Lord, for the choir and the youth choir and all the songs, Lord, that's been sung here today, the specials. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, what my heart's been able to feel. God, truly, you have been good to us. Lord, I pray, God, today if there's one among us, Lord, that don't realize how good you've been to them, I pray that something could be said or done that would cause them to realize, Lord, that you've been good to all of us. Lord, I pray, Lord, if some of us is going through the tough times of things being taken away, I pray we'd still realize, Lord, that you're good. Lord, sometimes you're given and sometimes you're taken away. Lord, you're still the Lord. Thank Lord you gave us salvation. And one day, Lord, you'll take us from this walk of life to a better land called heaven. Lord, I pray, Lord, today if there's one under our voice that don't know you as our personal Savior, I pray this will be that good hour, Lord, that humble theirself and come to you before it's too late. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, we'll do our best to bow in worthy head and give you the praise and honor and the glory for everything that you've done and that you're going to do. For us in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I began to read this morning as we got up early about Job. Seemed like Job got on our heart this morning, and anybody that knows anything about the Bible knows what Job went through. Job, God had blessed Job. Job had more than a lot of people acquire in this life. And Job was a man people looked to around the land, where it said that in verse 1, he said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was looked upon as a man by others around him that he feared God, and he eschewed evil. He stayed away from things that was evil and things that wasn't necessary to be done. Job was a perfect and upright man, which meant Job tried to live right and do right. People noticed that. And of Job, we read in verse 1 and on through chapter 1, we find out how much Job really acquired, Brother Tony. We find out how much he loved his kids, and we also find out what kind of man he was. Amen. Boy, when we think about Job, everybody always thinks about the trials of Job and the tough times of Job and the sicknesses of Job. But if I had anything to say today, I want to shout from the rooftop what Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's been good to us, amen. He really has. When I begin to read the Bible here, where it said, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job had 10 children, and we read where the sons would meet together over at one's house, and they'd begin to have a feast there in a festival. And the daughters would go over there, Brother Blake, and join up with them. And Job still had sacrifices for his children. He said, just in case one of them might have sinned today or done something wrong. What a good daddy is always thinking about his children. Amen. He wasn't wrapped up in his goods. He wasn't wrapped in what things he had. Praise the Lord. But he was just glad to be saved and to be one of God's children. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I'm counted as one of the fold. Amen. One of the children of God. But the Bible said there come a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. If you'd have it, the sons of God, the Bible said one place that we'd be called the sons of God. Amen. We've come today to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Like Brother Dennis preached Wednesday night, we've come to church, Brother EJ, to worship the Lord together and to meet in a place, amen, to let God know how much we love Him. Amen. Now I'll tell you something, Satan showed up this morning too. He's right in the midst of us. And he said, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered, Lord, and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down. He is going from east to west, north to south. And he was looking for somebody to cause a little trouble with. Amen. I'll tell you something. If you're not careful, and you, I like what an old pastor said years ago. If you don't want the devil riding your back, don't put a saddle on it. Amen. He's looking for somebody to give problems to. He wants to, praise the Lord, get in between the relationship between you and the Lord. But praise God, God knows how much we love Him, or if we don't love Him, the Lord knows that this morning. He knows where we stand with Him. God can't just offer everybody up. He said, have you considered my servant Job? I wonder sometimes when I read that scripture, I know the Bible says not to think too highly of ourselves. And so I'll just be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever felt like if Satan was to come in amongst us this morning. And I can't speak for any of you. I believe you got some good people in this church. But I'll tell you, I've seen some real good people. Brother EJ, that was solid in the Lord. Just went through things and they couldn't handle them like Job did. And then I've seen people in the church that people didn't look at in a way they thought they were strong. They didn't hold a title in the church. They wasn't somebody everybody looked to. But when troubles come, they stayed steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it proved how much they loved Jesus. Amen. All of us is going to have troubles. All of us is going to have affliction. And Satan is not the author of all of it. Amen. Some troubles we bring on ourselves. The scripture said this, if we're drawn away, we're drawn away of our own lust. Amen. He also said we were to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. God's not going to do that. There's some things we're going to have to do on our own. And I'm glad there were some things that Job did that we can learn from. Amen. Oh, Job, we read here in chapter 1. Where the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? I wonder if God was to pick us out this morning and say, have you thought about Tony? Old devil. You know, I'll just give Tony to you and let you do with him what you'd have to. What about Thomas, old devil? I'll just let you do what you want to with Thomas for a while. What about EJ or Brandon? I mean, we could go through the whole house this morning. If God was to pick us out, if God had confidence on staying strong. Would we prove him out to be true? Amen. I believe sometimes God's got more confidence in us than we've got in ourselves. Amen. Amen. He knows what we can take and what we can't take. And even though this story said, we really think about what all Job went through. You know what a lot of people don't realize is, out of the whole story, out of all that he lost, out of all of his cattle that he lost, I'll just be honest with you today, losing a house or a car, losing things that's materialistic, it's nothing like losing somebody you love. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? We can acquire other earthly things. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you can't have other children. Sometimes when loved ones leave this walks of life, it leaves an emptiness and a void that can't be filled by nothing. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you something, Job lost 10 children in the midst of losing all the things that he acquired. And God had told Satan, he said, I'm going to let you take whatever you want to take, but you don't touch Job. You know, I thought about it one time. Listen to this, and I really like this. I want you to think about how good that God has been to us. When he said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, there's none like him in all the earth. Amen. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? I thought about that question all morning. Brother Tony, does Job fear you, Lord, for no reason? Look how good you've been to him. That's what Satan was throwing in his face. He started saying, he said, you put a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had. Thou blessed the work of his hands. Did you know God blesses the work of your hands? Did you know there's a hedge about your house? Did you know there's a hedge about you? Don't tell me God ain't been good to all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. One thing I like, praise the Lord, I've run up on some fences a few times that I couldn't climb. Amen. People brag on Satan, say, oh, he's powerful. He's this and he's that. He can do this, he can do that. He ran up on a little hedge one day he couldn't even get over. Ooh, he's probably steaming mad right now. Amen. God put a hedge up about Job and Satan couldn't do nothing with it. Amen. Do you know that when Satan's able to do something to us, it's only when God decides to let the hedge down that he can do anything? He said, if you'll take that hedge down, you'll let me begin to touch all the things that he has. He said, Job's going to curse you to your face. Amen. And God said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you take everything he's got. But you don't touch what? You don't touch him. You don't touch his life. You understand me? Boy, he began to take what he had. EJ. Fella come running back and said, hey, I barely escaped. All the cattle's gone. Went another one, come, all this is gone. All that's gone, on and on and on. And all of a sudden he got news. There's children was gone. And he lost all 10 of his children. One of the saddest stories that I ever heard. I worked with a man one time. That was a family. They had triplets. Three little boys. And my heart's always sad when children leave us walks of life. They had a fire in their hands. And they didn't make it out. I believe the mom and daddy or one of them made it out. But all three children died in the fire. And I thought, oh God, how will he make it? How's he going to make it? Amen. And I'll tell you how you make it. By the grace of God and the mercy of God. And God loving him like he loved Job. Amen. That's how you make it. It ain't going to be easy. I was reading this morning when Job was bragging on the Lord. I also read over at the end of chapter 2 where it said when his friends got there, they didn't say nothing for 7 days. You know, I wish sometimes people would realize sometimes things happen and there really ain't nothing you can say. Just so somebody knows that you're there means enough. Amen. There's been a lot of people said stuff. It'd been good if they'd just been quiet. Amen. Like old Job said to his friends one time, he said, "You boys are miserable comforters." Amen. They traveled a long way to comfort him in his time of trouble, and he wasn't even helping him. Amen. And on that first week, said they didn't say nothing. You know why they didn't say anything? They said they could tell that his grief was very great. He had lost everything that he had. And not only after that, before his friends got there, Satan come back to the Lord and said, "Well, he ain't cursed you, but it's because you won't let me touch him." And he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you make him sick. I'm going to let you do whatever you want to this body. But you don't take his life." Ain't that what he said, Brother EJ? And by the time his friends got there, Job had boils on his, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He had taken pot shears and he was scraping off the boils off his body. The Bible said his friends, when they seen him afar off, didn't recognize him. Amen. It had affected him so much. Maybe he had lost weight. His fair complexion was messed up by the boils. He was sickly. Maybe been throwing up. Amen. But yet he said God has still been good. Amen. When's the last time you got done dry heaving and you got up off the floor and you said God's still good? We don't think about that when we're sick, do we? We only think about it when everything's going good. That's why Job get such a teaching in the Word of God. There's a lot of people praise the Lord when things was going good. There's only a few of them praise the Lord when things was going bad. Think about old Paul and Silas. One day they got locked up. They sitting in jail. I could almost hear old Silas. "Paul, what are we going to do now?" And I could hear Paul go, They started humming and keying up a verse, a song. And the Bible said they began to sing. No doubt them boys was in the building and began to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Feel the presence of God in the building. And praise the Lord. I'll tell you something. I believe the prisoners felt it because the doors did. Amen. The doors opened up. And they walked out and were set free by the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit was in that place. Amazes me sometimes how that a jail door open up, but we won't open up our hearts to the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come through. It's touched us this morning. We felt His presence. You might be going through a tough time this morning. I don't know what you're going through. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's good in the bad times just like He is in the good times. I'll never forget years ago. It's probably been at least 10 or 15 years ago, maybe even longer than that, but I know it's at least been that long. It's one of the hardest things I ever had to tell somebody. I was standing out at the end of the driveway, and one of our good neighbors had come over, a Christian woman. Had a lot of confidence in Sister Brenda, still do. She loved the Lord. Her husband was a preacher. They always went to church. I remember when we first moved in there, I'd see him out there, and I knew he was always a little older than me. I could tell he was a little older than me. I think he was maybe in his 30s when we moved in. I was in my 20s, and he'd be out there playing basketball. And I remember telling him, "Man," I said, "how's he got time to play basketball?" That's how I remember him always playing basketball. He's real healthy. He's out there playing basketball. And just in a few years, I remember having to help throw him down the steps because he couldn't even walk down the steps, and I had to build him a ramp to help get him in the car, take him to the doctor, and they'd run test upon test. And they couldn't figure anything out. And his wife stayed strong. She had faith. Boy, she'd say, I just know what God's going to do. I know the Lord's going to touch him. I know the Lord's is. And I tried to pray just like she would and have faith that things would turn out good. Praise the Lord. I wish everybody got healed. Amen. Sometimes I wish every prayer was answered. But God knows what's best. Amen. He kept getting worse. They never could figure out what was wrong. And I remember one day they finally diagnosed him and said, even though he was young, the closest thing that they could put it to, they diagnosed him with Alzheimer's. His brain was shrinking. There was really no technical term for it, but he had the same symptoms that somebody would have with Alzheimer's. He was forgetting people. He didn't know how to eat. He couldn't walk. Couldn't do the things that we take for granted. I remember one day I went down to the mailbox to get the mail. She's down there at the end of her mail, at the end of her driveway. Ours was straight across one another. And she said, Brother Jeff, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she come over there and tears running down her face. She said, really pray. Really pray for Terry that he'll get better. And I said, Sister Brenda, we're praying. I said, I just don't know. We just have to trust the Lord. I'm a praying. That's something along that line. And I remember her made this statement. She said, well, when he's healed, it's going to prove how good God is. And it was hard to say, but I said, Brenda, even if God don't heal him, God's still going to be good. He is good when he's healthy. He's good when we're sick. He's going to be good when we leave here. He's always good. Praise the Lord. Don't we all want to go to heaven? Amen. If you want to go to heaven, say amen. Then you've got to die. You've got to leave here. That's the way to heaven. Amen. You can't take this flesh with you. Said flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We got to leave here. Nobody wants to die and everybody wants to go to heaven. Is that not true? But I'm going to tell you something. There's just a little passageway that we go through. And I've seen it so many times. And I'm not even going to mention no names this morning, but I've seen it time and time again. Sister Marty, when somebody's healthy and doing good, and all of a sudden they begin to go down through the valley of the shadow of death, and you can tell, said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've seen the comfort in the Holy Spirit in times when the death angel begins to pass through a room or a house, Brother EJ, and I feel that peaceful spirit of the Holy Presence be there. Amen. And all of a sudden I've seen the Holy Spirit just literally, praise the Lord, pull the stinger out of death. Praise the Lord. Where they couldn't, they was hurting and suffering. All of a sudden they're singing, looking up. Don't you see them? They're coming for me. Amen. You ever experienced that? There ain't nothing like it, amen. Now I'll tell you something, I can't wait until I get right at the door to see what's going to happen to me. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I think I'm going to look up and might see Papa Blackson. They said by the time I knew him, he was on up in age. He wasn't hardly even healthy enough to go to church. Then years after that, he's in a nursing home. I remember when we went to his funeral, I never was in a church service with him. I was younger and they wasn't going then, Brother Tony.
But I remember that preacher, he said, oh, I remember when Walter Blackson used to shout, run all over the church, stomp his feet. And I thought the next time I might see, I might get a glimpse of Glory Land. Oh, Walter Blackson be over there shouting. Amen. Might look up, here comes Daddy. Might look up, see some preachers that I love. You might see your mama or your daddy, praise the Lord. But I hope that you're going, amen. That's what counts, amen. Are you going to heaven when you die? This message is going a little different than I thought it was going to this morning. It really is, but I'll tell you something. Job had been through a lot, didn't he? Is there anybody in here that can honestly say you felt like you've been through what Job's been through? No, we can't do that. But you know what Job said? I want to make sure I get it right. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb. I've quoted this so many times, but I read it this morning. I wanted to read it. He said, I come in this world with nothing. Me and Brother Tony was talking a while ago. A lot of times people will come to the altar, Brother Brandon, they'll come to pray. A lot of people won't come with them. They'll say, oh, bless their heart, that message was for the lost this morning. Do you realize if a lost person comes to the altar, that they're trying to be born in the family of God? Do you realize that? Amen. Now, I want you to understand something real quick. How silly would this statement be if one of the ladies in the church said, well, I'm supposed to have a baby next week, but that ain't really nothing about me. It's all about the baby. That'd be one of the silliest statements I'd ever heard in my life. The mama does a lot when the baby's coming in this world. Amen. The mama's the one that feels the pain, not the baby. The mama's doing all the work and feeling the labor pains, not the baby. Praise the Lord. All the baby's doing is coming in. Amen. And praise the Lord, doing a little crying and rejoicing after it happens. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what's missing sometimes in our church services. A baby's trying to be born, and mama ain't really doing nothing. We're not in the labor, we're not in travail, we're not pushing, we're not helping get them in. You know, you might disagree with some of this. You can say what you want in days gone by. I know people used to do a lot around the altar. Some things I liked and some things I didn't like, but I'll tell you, I think all their intentions was good. Y'all with me? They'd be down there. Hold on, let go, pray through, don't get up till you got it. And boy, they'd all be in there cheering them on. Is that not true? Do y'all remember seeing that? You know what everybody does now? We need to really pray for them. We need to really pray for them. Hope they get it. Hope they get it. I'll tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I see somebody struggling up some steps with a couch, I don't say, boy, I hope they're going to be all right. I hope they can get that couch in the house. I sort of trot over to my neighbor's house and try to say, can I help y'all boys when we get another hand on this thing and see if we can get it in there? Yeah. Amen. We don't need no spectators. We need some people to get in there. All of us, hey, if it's your children, I want to get in there. And if it's my children, I want you to get in there. And if it's neither one of our children, you ready? I still want us to get in there. Amen. I don't care if somebody walks in here for the very first time this morning, one of their children get up and walk down the aisle. Nobody in this building knows them. It don't make no difference if you know them or not. We don't even know why they're coming to pray, but God does. Amen. And I'll tell you something. There ain't nothing makes me feel worse. See somebody in the altar praying and nobody praying with them. And the only thing I guess that I could have ever said about any church that I've pastored that I didn't like is to see somebody go to the altar and have to pray by themselves. Because I don't think there's a person in here when you really go to the altar and something serious enough to go to the altar and pray, wouldn't like to have somebody down there with you. Is that right? I want them to come get a verse of song.